In other news.
To determine why and how the towers collapsed.
Kind of scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. In this day and age, most photographers, some police officers, and federal employees may not realize that it's every photographer's right to take photos and video of federal buildings on public property. The easing of restrictions began when the New York Civil Liberties Union had looked into several cases of people who were wrongly harassed, detained, and arrested by federal agents while photographing or shooting video of federal buildings from public plazas and sidewalks. In 2010, the NYCLU brought a suit against the U.S. Department of Homeland Security in federal court to end this practice. In October of 2010, a judge actually signed a settlement where the U.S. government agreed that no federal statutes or regulations bar people from photographing the exterior of federal buildings. The U.S. government agreed to issue a directive to members of the Federal Protective Service on photographers' rights. Almost a decade later, the rights attained in this decision are recently being put to the test in what's known as First Amendment audits. We're joined by a First Amendment auditor known as Johnny 5-0. He lives in California. During a U.S. post office audit, for example, it's like clockwork. Cue the angry federal employee saying it's illegal to film inside the post office and demand that the auditor vacate the premises immediately. Then a customer may come to the defense of the angry employee. Then the police are called, and then, but not all the time, the police arrive. At this point, the police may already know about the case law, or, as it's termed, they will receive an education. Overall, there may be a so-called walk of shame, open acts of police abuse, but anyone watching this online receives an education. Johnny 5-0 will usually stream this live on the internet. He can be crass, entertaining, yet seemingly fair. He's often with a group of other auditors, and their audit locations include police stations, airports, and prisons. He joins us today to talk about his work performing First Amendment audits. Johnny 5-0, welcome to Another News.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, listeners, no doubt, know we're living in a police state, but the First Amendment audits really illustrate moments of taking back your power. Tell listeners how you got involved in pushing up against the margins of protected free speech.
I guess it was the amount of police misconduct and shootings of unarmed people that I witnessed online. I also think with the advent of video on mobile phones, coupled with the fact that we now have news outlets that are not as mainstream, so we're able to see, I don't think this is a correct term, I like to call them like the micro stories, like some of the smaller stories that might not make, obviously, back in the day when it was the local news and then it was, you know, the evening news with Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw. You know, we now have the ability to see much smaller stories. Not that shooting of innocent civilians is a small story by any means, but we're able to see those stories now unedited. And the beauty of video is you're seeing it for yourself. It's not hearsay. It's not, you know, I mean, obviously there's backstory and the police are always saying, yeah, but you didn't see what happened up until that video. And, you know, they backpedal quite a bit on a lot of that stuff. And some of it's obviously valid. But so I think the initial contact for me was seeing these videos. And then, you know, YouTube just going down the rabbit hole, and then YouTube starts suggesting. And then eventually it just started suggesting some of these First Amendment audits. And I lost my mind and I watched them for probably 4 months straight for 4 to 8 hours a day and just went down the rabbit hole and never really understood our rights. You know, I'm 50 years old and I've been around and college educated, and I never knew you could, that when a cop comes up to you on the street like that, that that's a consensual encounter and you can revoke consent and walk away or not even stop in the first place. You know, I mean, obviously if there's a gun drawn or if there's a suspicion of a crime, that's a different story. And then I just really started to see what was happening was that police were exceeding their mandate. And one of the things that people accuse us of is being anti-cop, which is the furthest thing from the truth. It's just, here's your circle, and you're way outside of your circle. And who's going to police the police?
I can understand watching the videos, and I started watching your channel and a couple other channels, such as Dallas Activist, and the same issues come up again and again. Johnny, there's a Department of Homeland Security case where plaintiff Antonio Musso-Messi was arrested in November of 2009 after recording with a handheld video camera. He was recording a protester in a public plaza outside the federal courthouse in Manhattan. That led to a major decision about photographing and videotaping in public. You carry around the decision with you, and tell listeners more about why you carry that decision around with you and why it's important.
Well, actually, first of all, I'm not a lawyer. Second of all, it's not necessarily the decision. The decision was the decision, but part of the stipulations of the settlement was that the Department of Homeland Security was going to need to retrain from the top down. And so they required them to come out with this. It's a 3-page memo, and everybody can Google it and download it. It's actually the declassified memo, because the original memo was classified, and they were actually trying to not have it be released to the general public. You know, I don't know all of the particulars, but it appears as if the legal team, you know, turned the screws on the Department of Homeland Security to the point where they said, okay, well, we're going to come out with a declassified version, and there's some portions of it that are blacked out. But the short version of it is that citizen journalists are able to, you know, photograph from public areas, which also include lobbies and any area that is open to the public is fair game. Courthouses get into a different realm. You can be inside a courthouse with one, although there's been a lot of controversy there. Obviously, you can't bring one into a courtroom. But the short version is that it was disseminating the information to federal employees that people are allowed to videotape from public of what public officials do in the course of their duty, and really not to bother them. And it seems like nobody got the memo, you know, pun intended, because it's still rampant that people from Department of Homeland Security, the FPS, the Federal Protective Services, that's the federal police, all the way down to dog catcher. I mean, nobody is really that well educated yet on the matter. So that's one of the missions. I tell other auditors, I said, you know, maybe in 10 years from now, we'll be auditing in front of an Arby's. That's when we know that we've made it, you know, so that we've actually educated everybody along the way as to public photography. So, and this all stems from post 9/11. And as I like to tell people too, it's, and I tell this to cops and they get very disturbed by it. I said, Osama bin Laden won. He won on September 11th, because now we have Americans versus Americans. We have police officers. We have regular civilians calling the police on us for being outside of an area with a camera, outside of a police station with a camera. And now everybody's pointing fingers at everybody else, and it's a train wreck. And it's all post 9/11, frankly. So
you kind of implied that you guys have a goal, at least an outline of some objectives. Can you share that with listeners?
Well, ultimately, the goal of what we're trying to do is we're trying to educate both law enforcement and, more importantly, citizens of what your rights are when it comes to public photography. It's interesting because, you know, there's a gentleman by the name of one of the channels is News Now Houston. He's one of the biggest, the most popular channels. And when I was new, I didn't understand when the police approached him. He never said, oh, I'm out here doing a First Amendment audit. I'm trying to see what the response of police is. He always said, I'm out here photographing birds, snakes, anything that I can see. And I thought it was incredibly disingenuous. and a little bit weird. And what I found out later on was that he's actually protecting the rights of photographers, who's somebody who is videotaping or photographing birds, who just happens to be across from a nuclear power plant, and they want to tackle him, you know. So it really sort of measures their response as to what we're doing. So we're just out here to show, and we're also out here to show the overzealousness of law enforcement and how poorly trained that they really are in a lot of aspects. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know a lot about the law. I know a lot about photography laws, and that's all that I really need to know. And the police, I understand the police need to know, you know, a lot of laws and so forth, but that's why you have a radio. That's why you can call your supervisor. That's why they can call the DA's office. That's why they can do anything like that. And even when given that opportunity, most of them will decline. It's a sad state of affairs. So we're really shining a light on what's going on here in America currently.
Yeah, I look at this as residue from, I consider it a false flag on September 11, 2001, but this is the residue of the surveillance state, the police state. I think it's interesting there, the subtleties that start to come up, such as you can't make illegal activity suspicious. I think there's case law around that. But how do you guys close the suspicious activity loophole after you tell police you don't need to show them ID, you're free to film in public, and no crime has been committed? Then the police say, well, I'm investigating your suspicious activity. Then what do you do?
Well, we keep citing case law, really. I mean, for those that know, and in California, I live in Los Angeles. In California, we have something called Penal Code 148, subsection G, which, if you read the whole Penal Code 148, subsection A, pretty much has to do with interfering with police and getting too close to a scene. And while that's obviously arbitrary, that's more refers to like the cop watchers and the guys that follow police. They listen to the scanner and they show up to, you know, traffic stops along the city. But California Penal Code 148 subsection G says, I'm going to paraphrase, but it pretty much says you cannot make a lawful activity of public photography suspicious in order to cause detention or arrest. So, but you can cite PC 148G, you can cite Fordyce versus Seattle, which is case law which dates back to the 90s of a guy videotaping police, and they arrested him for videotaping the police. And so there's a host of case law. We have one of our auditors, Philip Turner in Austin, Texas, who's got case law of Turner versus Driver, where he was detained and put in the back of a hot police car with all the windows up and no air conditioning on for 20 to 30 minutes. You can go online, you can go on YouTube and listen to the transcript of the judge, and it's actually really fascinating, where he just keeps saying, you know, what was your suspicion of a crime? And they said he was acting suspicious, and the judge just keeps just grilling him of like, yeah, that's not a crime. And we have the quip back that we say to police, suspicion, is that a felony or a misdemeanor? And none of us has issue with their approaching us, because that's, you know, in this post 9/11 world, I mean, there's vigilance that needs to take place, and I understand that. So it's not that we really have that much of an issue with it. However, when the police do come up to us and say, well, you know why we're stopping you, don't you? Some of the auditors say, yeah, I'm of the school to say, no, I don't know why you're stopping me, because I'm out here doing a lawfully protected act, a constitutionally protected act, and, you know, you're wasting resources at this point by even contacting me. So obviously auditors get arrested, they get detained, regardless of having the memo, the DHS memo on you or citing case law or so forth. And generally speaking, the most that the auditors ever wind up is in the back of the squad car handcuffed for 20 to 40 minutes while they call the watch commander, or they call the district attorney, and the district attorney says something usually to the effect of, "No crime was committed, you idiots. Let him, let them loose." And that's generally what takes place. So there's just a dance that really takes place on the suspicion, but suspicious activity in and of itself doesn't even warrant a Terry frisk, which is a pat down for weapons, and they still need reasonable suspicion to do a Terry frisk.
Also, you guys refused very often to show ID, and that's a critical component here. Can you talk about that?
Sure. In most states, they are not stop and ID states. There's plenty of states that are stop and ID states, but again, they still need a reasonable, articulable suspicion of a crime. And I've heard auditors, this is amazing. I heard the News Now Houston guy over, I think he was in Louisiana, which is a stop and ID state, and they asked him for his name, and he said his name, and I think he even gave his date of birth out loud. And then they said, "Well, hold on, we need to write that down. What was that again?" He goes, "No, I already gave it to you. I've satisfied that portion of that I've identified myself. Whether or not you were ready for it or took down my information, that's not my responsibility." And I was like, "Oh man," you know, it's just like, that's just amazing. So the reason that we don't give ID is because we're not required to, and it also helps to really hammer home the police state mentality of, you're going to show me your ID. And what happens is, if you do give your ID, first of all, they're going to run you for warrants, even though if they can promise that they're not going, all cops, all they're doing is lying to you all of the time for the most part. They're just trying to hem you up. They're asking you, "Hey, what was your name again?" You know, "Oh, no, I didn't give it." "Are you from here? Are you from around here?" You know, all of these things would seem like really innocent questioning. And one of the things too, is that I never really realized in the Miranda warning, because I've heard that since I was a kid, and it's in one ear and out the other. Anything you say can and will be used against you. So that's even prior to your arrest. So there's hour-long videos of attorneys on YouTube talking about how you should never talk to the police. So, and what happens is when we give ID, they generate a report because they have to, and then it can go to their fusion center, which is Department of Homeland Security, and we could easily wind up on a terrorist watch list and on a no-fly list as a result of doing a constitutionally protected act. So that's why we refuse to ID. And some of the auditors, especially in Texas, are going out with bandanas over their face now, because with the advent of facial recognition software that police and federal agencies are able to run on just a simple cell phone picture too. So the reason that we don't ID is because we're not required to, and we're really trying to hammer home that this is, again, exceeding your mandate. You can ask me for my ID, but I'm going to decline your request. So,
yeah, this is quite something to witness in your videos. The First Amendment auditors have a category called Tyrant Alert. Can you talk about some of the physical abuse brought by police or others during the First Amendment audits?
Yeah, there's quite a bit of it. I mean, it's not as pervasive as in other parts of the communities and so forth. But I was personally witness to a federal case of a gentleman by the name of, he goes by the moniker of a silent citizen, and one of his MO is that he doesn't speak. When anybody shows up to him and asks him questions, he remains silent. He doesn't even respond at all to them, which you want to see them really lose their mind. And then there was another gentleman that was with him called California Guardian, and they were down at MDC, which is the Metropolitan Detention Center, which is in downtown Los Angeles. It's right down by Union Station on Alameda. This incident took place on the 20th of November, and approximately about 9:45 p.m. And one of the guards, a lieutenant, which it always fascinates me when people of a higher rank come out here and act a fool, that they're not trained, because generally speaking, they're the ones that should be better trained. Lieutenant Kittweiler, she came out and said, "You guys cannot be here." And we know the law, and we know the law that we're not going to trespass. We're not going to give them any ammunition to have any validity to their police call or to, you know, we play by the rules for obvious reasons. She cited that the sidewalk, the public sidewalk, was not public. It was federal, which is such an egregious violation. It's laughable, except the fact that she was serious. She instructed them to delete their footage and to stop recording. She grabbed Silent Citizen's camera, at which point my buddy California Guardian started a tirade of profanity towards her, which again is constitutionally protected speech. F you and flip the bird and you can do all that. I mean, obviously you can't make threats of harm towards somebody. That's a crime, but F you and all of that is completely, and there's case law for all of that, that is constitutionally protected speech. At which point she pepper sprayed California Guardian, she pepper sprayed Silent Citizen, and then she came back and pepper sprayed California Guardian a second time. And then I was called by the legal team probably about 15 minutes later to go down there and render aid to the guys, because they were both blinded, and they took Silent Citizen's camera gear. They stole it because he was not issued a property receipt. When I showed up, probably 30 to 40 minutes after the incident took place, there was a gentleman, LAPD was there, and there was a guy, Sergeant Grant, and I have this all on video. We also run live streaming. So at the time, we were running Bamboozer, which is an app. It's now defunct, but we've got some other live streaming apps. So if you take my camera gear, if you strip me of all my camera gear and, you know, throw it underneath a trash truck and it all gets crushed, that's great. It's up on the cloud already. So it gets broadcast in real time up onto the cloud for obvious reasons. Sergeant Grant approached me as I showed up, and he, you know, said something to the effect of, you know, there's something different going on here. This is a federal sidewalk and you can't be filming here, which is the most outrageous claim ever. I mean, this is what these guys do for a living, you know? And I mean, I just think, maybe call me a perfectionist, but I like to take a little bit more pride in the work that I do to be that egregious violations of people's rights. But there's been plenty of other auditors that have been body slammed and, or even detained inside of a back of a hot police car. We had a guy named Datman with a D who was down at the Culver City post office, and they put him in the back of a squad car for 20 to 30 minutes with all the windows up, to the point where they needed to roll rescue and get an ambulance for him afterwards, because they do all of these kind of things. That's when you really have a lawsuit on your hand. And so they're few and far between. It's usually it doesn't really go much more than an illegal detention. But yeah, there are acts of violence that do take place from time to time. So
we're speaking with Johnny 5-0. He's a First Amendment auditor in Los Angeles, California. And we're going to go to a clip of one of his first audits, and it is a tyrant alert. Johnny 5-0, can you tell listeners some background before we hear this audio?
So the short version is, I was down at the Burbank Airport, or the Bob Hope Airport, which is officially called, but nobody calls it that. I was on a public sidewalk, and I was simply filming, walking around, and they called PD on me and the airport police, which is federal, and they showed up, and Officer John Dole was the first officer of four, which responded to the scene. Upon researching him, he was he's a retired LAPD SWAT guy, and like I like to say, if this guy's been in business for 30, 35 years in law enforcement, and he was so blatantly violating my rights, how many thousands of people has he violated rights of over his long career? He blocked me from moving on the sidewalk. He put his arms out and physically blocked me from being able to walk past him, which is a Fourth Amendment violation. He put his hand in front of my lens, which is a First Amendment violation as well as Fourth. Generally speaking, when we get the supervisor called, they usually handle it. You know, it's sort of like if you're, I worked in the restaurant business. Hey, I found a, there's a dead bug in my salad. They call the manager out and they go, hey, listen, we're going to comp your meal and we're going to get you a gift certificate so you can come in here again for free. You know, when does the manager come out and say, you know what, I think you planted that fly there. I don't really believe, you know, I mean, it just seems like the job of supervisors is to de-escalate situations. And he called a guy named Sergeant Steven Sacito, who was Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, the guy looked exactly like Schwarzenegger. And he was just as bad as Officer Dole. And Dole was in my face, and he would not answer a question. I said, what penal code am I breaking? And he would not, and then he was calling me elusive, and it was a train wreck. And when Sacito came out, he doubled down and said, we're out here investigating. And I said, our job here is to investigate. I said, your job is to uphold an oath to the Constitution in the United States of America. Does your investigation trump that? And he goes, yeah. Which, they're still getting phone calls over there regarding that incident.
Okay, great. Nice setup, Johnny. If you go to see some of Johnny 5-0's videos, well, it's not quite family-friendly material. There is profanity used by some of the auditors and Johnny 5-0 because they can do it. So let's have a listen to some of this audio.
Name and badge number, please.
Why don't you show me your ID? What's the big deal? Why you're being so confrontational?
Quit resisting. Stop resisting, officer. Why don't you give me your name and your badge number? Is that what you do to the judge when the judge asks you for your name and badge number when you go in front?
To you, sir. You can put it on your camera.
Is it your policy to state your name? Is it your policy to state your name and badge number or to show it? There's no problem. Am I being detained or am I free to leave?
No, you're being confrontational.
Okay. Bye. Is that a crime?
Free country.
Okay, bye.
Have a good day.
You too. That didn't go as well as you thought it was going to go, did you? You can't block you cannot impede my movement, sir.
I have a question for you.
You're being live streamed on the internet. You're being live streamed on the internet, sir. I don't care. Take it.
I have a question for you.
Stop impeding my travel, sir.
Filming.
You're being live streamed on the internet.
Okay.
Make it good.
Do you want me to answer your question? Make it good. Talk over me.
No, I just wanted to get. No, you can't. You cannot impede.
This is an airport, and for security reasons, I want to know why you're filming people and cars. Why are you?
Call your supervisor. Right now. Call your watch commander right now. Right now. Do
okay,
it.
If you'll be quiet for a minute, I'll call him.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were doing all the yelling. Now you don't like it when I turn the script on you.
No, you...
You can't block my... You cannot impede my movement, sir.
I have a question for you.
You're being live-streamed on the internet.
I have a question for you, sir.
You're being live-streamed on the internet, sir.
I have a question for you, sir.
I don't care. Take it...
I have a question for you.
Stop impeding my travel, sir.
Why are you filming?
You're being live streamed on the internet.
Okay, do you want
me to make it good?
Do you want me to answer your question, or are you going to talk over me?
No, I just wanted to get. No, you can't. You cannot impede.
This is an airport, and for security reasons, I want to know why you're filming people and cars. Why are you?
Call your supervisor right now. Call your watch commander right now. Right now, do
okay,
it.
If you'll be quiet for a minute, I'll call him.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were doing all the yelling. Now you don't like it when I turn the script on you.
You want me to do something for you, but you don't want me to talk.
I'll be right at the gate, filming.
I'm going to ask you to not film me because you haven't told me why you're filming yet.
I don't need to tell you why I'm filming yet.
Because there's an airport here, and for security reasons, I need to know.
Do you understand? Do you understand how silly you sound right now?
Yeah, very
what,
probably.
What law am I breaking? What penal code? California penal code. Or even a vague California Penal Code.
If you want me to answer your questions, I suggest you maybe start answering my questions.
That's not how it works.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Judge.
Am I being detained?
Well, you asked for a supervisor, you're going to have
to... It doesn't mean I'm being detained.
Keep talking over me because you're being rude and discourteous.
What's the badge number?
Right here, sir.
3337. Great. And tell me your name again.
Dohle. D-O-H-L-E.
D-O-H-L-E. Perfect. Thank you. Can I get your name and badge number?
Don't you answer me. What are you out here filming for?
I'm asking her a question.
I'm asking you. You ask me a question, I answer it. Conversation goes both ways.
No, that's not how it works. You're
a public service.
What's your name and badge number, ma'am?
Sir. Why are you out here videotaping? For security reasons.
Tell me what law I'm breaking.
I asked you a question. You're evading my question.
I'm not evading. I'm not obligated to answer, sir.
This is the airport, and for security reasons, we need to know why you're out here filming. If you give me a good reason, I'll let you go. But you're not giving me a reason
at
all.
I'm shooting content for a story, and now you're the story about what public officials do on public.
So why couldn't you have told me that in the first place instead of being evasive?
I wasn't evasive.
Yes,
I don't need to tell you anything.
Yes, you do.
I don't need to.
I've been called out here for a reason. I'm asking you questions, and you don't want to seem to answer them. You want to talk over me.
I don't need to answer your questions.
Yes, you do, sir. Filming for what film show? And do you have a film permit? Have you contacted the airport for permission to film out here? I don't seem to be getting any answers from you, sir. Those are reasonable questions.
I've already told you why I'm here. I'm filming for a story to be published.
Okay, and have you contacted the airport and got permission from the airport to film at the airport?
Am I on the airport or am I on a public sidewalk?
Okay, you're still not answering my questions. Again, being evasive.
Is that a felony or a misdemeanor?
It's whatever you want it to be, sir.
No, it's whatever you want. You know, you guys are blocking traffic too here.
Yeah,
I don't know if you...
I'm on a call for service.
Okay.
So, since you have my ID, sir, how about if I see your ID, sir?
No, that's not how it works.
Yes, it is, sir. I'm asking you for your ID.
I've identified myself. You have not.
I have, too. I've shown you my ID. You've looked at my... I know who I'm talking to.
Am I obligated under California law to show you my ID?
I am here.
Yes or no?
Can I explain myself?
No, keep talking over me.
You seem to be pretty good at that. Okay?
Bye.
No, sir.
Bye.
Sir?
Bye.
I'm talking to you. I need your identification. Sir, please show me your identification. You are failing to identify yourself. I'm out here on an investigation. Please identify yourself. I have a right to do that, and you know that. To walk into a telephone pole, sir.
No, I'm not.
Can I see your identification, sir? Can I see your identification, sir? Are you refusing to show your identification to me, sir? You're gonna run into a pole.
Oopsie.
I guess that was my fault, too.
No, not at all. You're not obligated to have any expectation of my welfare.
The supervisor's on his way out. Are you gonna wait for him, or are you just gonna keep walking him?
I just want you to just keep making an idiot of yourself and be the next YouTube star.
Perfect. So you're failing to identify yourself to me, sir?
Can I get your name and... You're gonna turn away when I try to get your name? Is that policy? You're not turning away. You're facing me. Oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Why won't you show me your ID? Identify yourself. Do you have something to hide? Yes, no?
I need to comply and then I'll be on my way.
Still not going to show me your identification? Identify yourself? No?
27, we have a clear view of you.
Got another pole, be careful.
Yeah, and I got another, there's a couple of tools in front of me as well, so.
Call it like you see it.
Yep.
your car, sir?
It might be.
Yeah, it might be blocking a driveway, so we might have to contact the owner of the facility.
Oh my God! And you guys are stopped on a blocking the street, and you're going to bust my balls for parking my truck there?
I didn't say those words. Toward Claiborne.
Benny, bring me everyone.
What do you mean everyone?
Everyone! Supervisor's right down the street here, sir. If you want to wait, he'll be here in a minute.
It's fine. There he is there.
He'll be coming right here to talk to you. He'll be coming right up here to talk to you, sir.
You cannot impede my travel, sir.
Sir, right now, you just battered me by hitting me in the face.
You cannot impede my travel, sir.
You understand?
You don't understand.
It's fine. There he is there. You cannot impede.
You'll be coming right up here.
You cannot impede my travel, sir.
Sir, right now, you just battered me by hitting me in the face.
You cannot impede my travel, sir.
You understand?
No, you don't understand.
The supervisor's right here. You want to talk to him. He's going to talk to you.
Great. You're dismissed.
You don't dismiss me. My supervisor does.
Oh. Hi, can I get your name and badge number, please?
Sergeant Saucedo. Badge number is, I don't have a badge number. It's 3 stripes.
Serial number?
1122.
How about you, sir?
Massa.
Great, thanks so much.
You come talk to me.
Great, can we UA this guy for steroids? He's a little aggro. I didn't get it. You're being live streamed on the internet.
You give me a first name?
No, I don't want to. That's not how it works. I'm not a public servant. I'm not acting at my public, my official capacity. I'm a civilian.
What are you doing out here?
I'm taking pictures for content for a story, which I already told him.
Well, I don't.
Bye, sir. Don't beat your wife tonight, please.
Do you think that honestly helps?
You really think that helps? You want to see the last 7 minutes of footage that I got of him in my face?
Yeah, probably I do.
Great. You will.
So I got a question. Are you alleging a complaint that I'm a wife beater?
I net said nothing of the type.
Go record.
Great.
Go re-record and you'll find out.
Okay. Sir, whatever your name is. Seem a little nervous. Would you mind talking to me one-on-one?
I'm filming content for a story.
That's fine.
I'm filming the airport from a public sidewalk.
You're going to film all this, and you're not going to let us know why.
Are you Burbank police or your airport police?
Do you think you're on the airport property, or do you think you're
on
the
city? Well, I'm on public property, so.
You're right, it's public, but
right,
it's the airport or the city?
I don't care. You
don't care?
No, it
okay,
doesn't matter to me.
Well, I'll tell you what we care about. We care about, focus in on it, get it nice and tight. You got it?
Right.
We care about people wanting to do harm to the aviation community.
Okay.
You ever heard of 9/11?
For fuck's sake!
I was wondering when that was going to come up.
Well, it came up right now.
You know what? Every one of those planes that took off looks really suspicious. Dolan, D-O-L-A-N, the elusive female who would not give me her badge or name.
Well, you know what? We have a duty. We're bound by a duty to investigate everything.
You're bound by an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. So does your duty trump the Constitution of the United States?
Yeah.
You're bound by an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. So does your duty trump the Constitution of the United States?
Yeah.
It's
all intertwined.
That's great. I'm just great. I got that on two cameras.
You obviously don't know what the Constitution says, and you obviously don't know what the law reads. You obviously don't know what the law says. I'll say it to you one more time.
You obviously know more than I do.
Yes, I do know more than you. It's our job to know more than you.
Can I reach into my pocket and give you from my back pocket? Okay. Then you can...
Look, we have
and
no problem.
We and have that's no all we've asked him to do.
Right. Listen, we have no problem with people taking pictures.
Sure you do. Why do you think there's 3-4 cop cars here?
There's probably 3-4 cop cars here because you're being unreasonable.
My wife says the same thing.
Well, I'm sure ours does. Look, I'm not here to make a problem for you.
Right, you're right. I did miscount. There's only 3 cars and 4 officers.
Let me just talk. Rick, let me
Thanks, Rick. That airplane looks really suspicious back there.
I'm going to talk to you like a normal person. How many cameras brought down buildings on 9/11? Zero. How many airplanes did?
Can I talk?
Go.
Okay. We're not here to cause a problem for you.
Too late.
You're causing a problem for us. Because now you're taking away resources from the airport.
No, okay? You are.
No, you are. You're the reason we're here. You think we just showed up out of the blue? You think we just thought, oh, this guy's out here, let's go out and see what he's doing? No, we got a call, okay? And it's our job to investigate any unauthorized videos or photography. Now, there's nothing wrong with it, so long as normally you would obtain a permission from the airport. Okay, but since you didn't, we're talking to you. And if everything checks okay, you can go about your business.
Everything does check okay.
Okay, but we don't know you.
I don't know you. I've got four guys here with guns. You're telling me to relax?
Honestly, you really think this is going to help you?
Do you know that I'm 9 times more likely to be killed by a police officer than a terrorist?
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. So the 100 and 150...
Did you ever think of saying hi? Did you ever think of shaking my hand? Hello?
No, we had already surpassed that, thanks to Officer Toole, okay.
But they're not me.
Okay, well, they represent your police department.
Doing their job.
No, and if you think that was their job to... Do you think it's legal for me to impede my traffic if I want to walk past you right now? Yes or no?
You're gonna walk past me right now?
If I wanted to walk past you right now...
Well, if you were investigating suspicious circumstances, you could possibly be detained.
I asked him if I was being detained or if I was free to go. He said I was not being detained. So when I tried to walk, he got in my way. Okay. You'll see this all. You'll be in all your glory. So the next YouTube stars. I was just shooting pictures of planes taking off. Okay. Makes for some good footage.
That's all you had to say.
That's all I already said.
Well.
Listen, you come at me sideways like that, sorry, you're going to get sideways back. Sorry. It's called de-escalation. It's something that police have little interest or knowledge of these days. You wouldn't agree with that?
I would disagree with that.
Okay.
I think that we do everything we can to de-escalate things.
Okay.
And I think we do everything we can to be professional.
You have done well with me, okay? However, I'm already agitated from whatever his name. I forget that gentleman over there. I don't forget what his name is, but so he was already impeded after I told him repeatedly of why I was here, and actually that I didn't actually even need to give him a reason why I was here. Frankly,
well, we are responding to a radio call.
Okay.
So he is investigating what that radio call was.
Okay.
So in that regard, he does have a right to find out. And you were the one that was described in that radio call.
Wearing all black until something darker comes along.
So the officer responding, they do have a right and an obligation to investigate that radio call. Okay? It's that simple.
Okay, well, that was part of the audio from a First Amendment audit video by Johnny 5-0, one of his first ones.
And that was clean. There was no profanity in that one. So,
right. Go ahead.
I'd like to say I mirror energy. So if you come at me sideways, you're going to get sideways, which doesn't necessarily mean profanity. But when cops come at me cordially, they get the cordial Johnny 5-0. So that's my MO, is that I mirror energy.
Johnny, why do you think some people lose it so quickly when you point a camera at them in a room mounted with multiple cameras already pointing at them?
Easy. Power and control. They don't know what the end usage is going to be. In a post office, there's 14 cameras. And one of the things that I do when I go into a situation like a post office is, and I tell some of the other auditors, I'm like, this is people skills 101. if you take 10, 15 seconds and you just walk up to the people in the line and you say, listen, I'm filming. I'm not here to film you. I'm filming the employees, and we're here making sure that they're doing their job and doing things the right way and to see how they respond to my camera. So my job, I'm not here to film you. If I do, I might, you know, accidentally get the back of your head. My intention is not to film you. I'm here to keep these guys accountable. And 9 times out of 10, you can get everybody in that line on your side quickly. Obviously not everybody, but, and some of the other auditors just, they just kind of kick in the door and they start filming everybody. And then you get everybody in the line who wants to do harm to you and cause, you know, distress. And, but ultimately it's about power and control. They don't know what you're going to do with that video. But the greatest is when people walk up to you, there's plenty of people that can walk right past the camera and they're not really going to be on camera. When you walk up to a camera and start saying, I don't want to be on camera and blah, 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 and you've got your finger in the cameraman's chest, it's not the best logic. You know, now you're really going to be on blast by your own making, really. And so if you don't want to be on camera, don't step in front of one.
The people who have long careers in law enforcement and flat out do not know the law, especially the 2010 Homeland Security case law. But also, there is another issue that comes up with the so-called conflict of the policy of a corporation or the policy of the post office. Their personal policies regarding photography sometimes are brought into the conversation as a conflict with the constitutional law. What are your thoughts on that?
Easy. Policy is not law. And I'm not an employee, so I don't need to adhere to policy. I was bailing out a buddy of mine, 5:30 in the morning, Hollywood division down on Wilcox in Hollywood in Los Angeles. And I'm there at five. It's 5:30 in the morning. I've been up 18 hours or longer. My buddy was in the holding cell in the back, and he was trying to find out if the bondsman had shown up yet. So, and I was outside in my car. I walked into the police station 5:30 in the morning on the phone with my buddy in the back of the police station saying, is the bail bondsman here for my buddy? And the officer at the desk said no. So I turned around immediately and was vacating the lobby. And on the way out, because cops always have to give a directive, they always have to tell you something. They always have to give you an order. They have to. Then they have to have the last word. Because, again, it's all about power and control. So as I'm vacating, he says, you can't be on the phone in here. At which point I mean, something kind of snapped inside of me, you know. So I hung up the phone and I sat down at the lobby and I just started filming the guy. And after about 4 minutes of it, because I would just sit there with my phone in my lap, like not like in his face. And he's like, are you filming? Are you filming? And I go, I don't answer questions. He goes, oh, not without your lawyer. So then they come out and there's a second guy that comes out, a third guy, and they start clowning me. And this, I've got this video up too. And I just sit there and I go, and you wonder why there's such a disconnect between the general public and police. So yeah, the policy is not law. So guess what? You can have 27 signs inside a police lobby saying that there's no cell phone use. Great. That's not are you going to arrest me for that? You cannot. It's policy. It is not law. And it's a suggestion. We're asking you not to, but you don't get to give me a directive as if it's law. Because cite the law. Tell me what law it is that I can't be on a cell phone inside a police lobby. Don't take me away right now, because I'll my lawyer is on my live stream, and I've got 14,000 subscribers that'll be calling the station in the next 4 minutes. So that's generally the case. The policy is not law. Like the name and badge number, officers in Los Angeles, LAPD and sheriff, they are required to state their name and badge number. It is not a law. It is their policy. So they can opt not to give you their name and badge number, as they do somewhat often, or they point to it, you know, and say it's right here, which is not what their policy states. And our line is always, is that what you say to the judge when you approach the judge says to state your name? You say, judge, it's right here. it's their policy to identify themselves with their name and badge number or serial number. So policy is not law.
All right, Johnny 5-0, I thank you for going in depth there. I appreciate it. And citing that real-world example that you even have the YouTube video up. I saw the biased local TV news story by the KMIR reporter. It does reveal loss of objectivity in journalism and a cozy relationship with local police. Do you suspect this is damage control based on recent popularity of First Amendment auditing?
Yes, but this case is a bit of an aberration. There was two police officers that were killed a little over a year ago in Palm Springs, and Palm Springs is a small town mentality. It doesn't necessarily, you know, there's I think a few million people out there, but it's got a small town mentality. And I think everybody was rallying around the police when this incident took place. And the incident in question regarding the First Amendment auditor, who goes by the moniker of News Now California, he was approached by the hero cop, Officer Burton, who was shot in the hip during that ambush. So that's also why I think they're treading even more lightly on the story, so I think it's a little bit of an aberration. But I absolutely, the police and media are totally in bed together. Also, say there's ABC, CBS, and NBC, and maybe Fox, and only one of the stations has been extra nice, shall we say, to the police department. So say there's an incident that takes place and, you know, maybe the, you know, whatever the highest ranking guy there says, oh, we're going to let ABC come in because they've been the coolest with us on the air. We're going to give them the better spot here to be able to cover the event. So, yeah, so I'm sure there's a little bit of symbiosis that takes place there. So my biggest issue with the KMIR news piece was their choice of language. They use the word targeting, that First Amendment auditors are targeting police. And in light of a recent ambush, I think that that's a really poor choice of wording that's a bit inflammatory and far from accurate.
There was another significant audit you guys did, the Scientology First Amendment audit. That was really interesting. And you found something hidden in a tree, which could you share that with listeners?
There's an auditor who goes by the moniker of Nasty Nathaniel, and he's the main Scientology guy. And he's friends with a guy named the Angry Gay Pope, who's got a channel on YouTube he goes and protests the hell out of Scientology all the time. I mean, he's got restraining orders and stuff. I mean, he's Angry Gay Pope. He's a funny guy. And so Nathaniel had come down. He lives up the coast a little bit, and we went over to Big Blue, which is, as they call it, it's called PAC, Pacific Area Command. I don't know who names a church Command, but apparently the L. Ron Hubbard crew does. And they're really, I didn't really realize the scope of Scientology and how bizarre and creepy and the retaliation that takes place and the smear campaigns by the church and so forth. So we were down there, and he had known about a license plate reader, which was inside of a public tree. And we went down there and we had circled the block a couple of times. He showed me the license plate reader, and security came up on the mountain bikes and they said, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, this is a public tree. And they go, yeah, but that's a private camera. And I go, is it your camera? And they wouldn't answer the question. And I'm like, because that's all I was really trying to get them to say was, is this your camera? And so we walked around the block a couple of the times. I was running YouTube Live and people were like, go back to the camera. And I had pulled it out and I gave the model number and people Googled it. And they said, this is a license plate reader. It's not just a camera. And so I pulled it out of the tree. It was not in there securely. It was just laying in the wedge of the tree. And then I unscrewed the coax cable And so it was just hanging there by the power cord, which was electrical tapes along the tree and then went inside the Scientology over their wall, which I thought, if nothing else, it's not up to code electrically here. At which point we were surrounded by bike guards who eventually fessed up and said it was theirs. They called the police for a second time to come back out. They were trying to do a private person's arrest on me for vandalism. And the one cop that was there, he was really good and he knew the law. And I think the one thing, and I had other auditors say to me, they said, we were sure you were going to jail that night. And I think the one thing that might have saved us was that the one main cop that was investigating, there were two there, he knew who we were. He didn't know us individually, but he knew PNAC, which is the group Photography is Not a Crime, which is really the, or was the mainstay. It's a sort of a little bit on its way out, defunct with some new leadership and so forth. But the cop that was coming out to question knew who we were on that and knew the power that we had. Yeah, it looks like we're just filming on cell phones and it doesn't, you know, we look like a couple of yahoos and it doesn't look like we. And then I also turned my camera around and I made sure that I showed him, I think, the 647 people that were watching live. And he's not a dumb cop. He understood the power of that. But yeah, there was a private license plate reader in the tree, and there's multiple Scientology buildings all throughout the city of Los Angeles. Most of them have license plate readers and cameras everywhere, but usually most of them are on their private property. But this one just happened to be in a public tree, which we had to take some action over. So we did.
That's another very entertaining video, because you don't usually see Scientologist people scramble around and look ignorant of the law like they did. And it was, and then there's that camera license plate reader dangling from the tree. It was beautiful. Really, another great video. Yeah. Well, Johnny 5-0, I just want to say thank you for doing this work. I know it takes a certain amount of courage and energy to do this, and appreciate you and the other auditors, you carrying through with some of this work and educating people. You guys say you're in public. You want privacy? Go home and close your blinds. Well, Johnny 5-0, your YouTube channel is Johnny 5-0. That's Johnny, the name J-O-H-N-N-Y, and then the word five spelled out, F-I-V-E, and then O. Is that a zero or an O?
I think it's a zero.
Okay, and how would listeners support your channel?
Well, they can support all the auditors' channels, really. I'm not just giving myself a plug, but in most of the auditors, in the description of the video, they'll usually have a PayPal email address or a PayPal link or a GoFundMe link to help keep us on the road, and gas money and SD cards and batteries and all that stuff. So,
but thank you again for being on the show. I really appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Join me again Monday, 11 p.m. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests. Thank you.